Hard as it may be right now to imagine a new and improved New Orleans, planners and real estate experts are talking about redevelopment, but it could come at a high price, one measured in culture, not coin. The worst flooding in New Orleans submerged poor, majority black neighborhoods. Many residents owned neither their land nor their homes. Now they have nothing to return to. As the city tries to rebuild, is it possible that these low-income African Americans will be shut out of the process? Joining us now to talk about such issues is Robert Woodson, founder and president of the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Thank you so much.
Pleased to be here.
So let's really talk about some previous case studies. Are there examples of cities in the past century that have been really eviscerated, and what happens to poor residents after that?
Absolutely. I think this, as your commentator said, is an opportunity to really rebuild. Crisis always creates opportunity, and for us to rethink it. First of all, yes, we've had economic devastations in cities like Chester, Pennsylvania, the lowest income area, and now that city has been rebuilt from the bottom up. Indianapolis, Indiana, the west side, under Steve Goldsmith, the mayor, was the highest crime, most disinvested. Now it's one of the safest, and at $78 million in public-private investment. Rural areas like Lowndes County with two industrial parks that were built in the last 4 years. So there are endless examples, but and what we really need to take this whole issue out of the political dynamic where poor blacks are the victims of being used as political pawns, and move that out and concentrate on civic and neighborhood leaders that have demonstrated that they have solutions to put on the table, and then bring to them a strategy that develops from the inside out, from the bottom up.
Well, the current New Orleans mayor has been cleaning house, we're not talking about the floods, we're talking about corruption. He had been trying to clean up city government. Does the level of corruption that has existed in the New Orleans government make that city struggle harder?
It really does. Corruption is just one of the barriers. Also, there are some policy barriers. For instance, if you talk to a lot of builders, they'll tell you, in many cases, it costs them about $35,000 to $40,000 to clear regulatory barriers before they can break ground on one house. And therefore, it makes it it makes it too expensive to build moderate to low-income housing. So we really need some regulatory relief without sacrificing personal safety. But we really need to bring people together to talk about remedies based upon the actual experiences of civic and neighborhood leaders from around the country, and the qualities that make them effective and innovative also renders them invisible because they're not out protesting or whining, and they don't have books out or in talk shows. So I really think it's a tremendous opportunity to bring to the table new and innovative ways to invigorate that city. After all, we should look at the low-income residents as part of a workforce. New Orleans is now a tourist city, which means that it's a service economy. We should look at low-income people as a very important part of the service economy's workforce and ask ourselves, how can we insinuate into that community, those communities, training, technical assistance, so they can become owners of homes and they can be trained to participate in the reconstruction, apprenticeship jobs, so that they have a sense of being a part of the economy. But we've got to look at them as an important part of the workforce rather than victims that are deserving of compensation.
Let me just ask you this flat out. A lot of people are concerned that places like the Lower Ninth Ward are going to be rebuilt as, you know, condos, and that the poor renters who didn't have any recourse will really have no place to go. What is to prevent real estate speculators from simply going in and, you know, building beautiful but unaffordable housing?
Well, that's where civic leadership takes place. In my city of Washington, D.C., we see endless examples of thousands of poor people being moved out and pushed into another area, low-income area of the city, where there are expensive condos. That's where you need civic leadership. And that civic leadership has to take into account that if New Orleans is to rebound, it must provide housing for those employees that are going to work in the hotels, that are going to work in the casinos, that are going to supply the employees, so that affordable housing, such as what the president has proposed, and in fact is in force at Housing and Urban Development, that provides opportunities for poor people to own housing by getting a down payment provided. So there are endless federal and local programs and private sector opportunities available. All it takes is someone taking a fresh look at an old problem.
Just very specifically, before we run out of time, what sorts of federal programs would apply in this case? What sorts of federal grants to, I mean, if you're an individual looking to rebuild your life?
For instance, at Housing and Urban Development, the American Dream Down Payment Act provides $5,000 to low-income people towards a down payment of a house. There are other programs available like that. IDAs, they're called retirement accounts. If you work, the government matches so much of your monies in savings. The HSBC Bank is engaged with the National Center, my organization, in a massive financial literacy initiative that is very important. So it's not enough to tell people how to make income, but they must stop using rent-a-furniture and all of these things.
So financial literacy in general is a big part of people improving their lives.
Absolutely. And you've got to have it. It's and so we must begin to emphasize financial literacy, so the income that they do have, it won't go out the door.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. Robert Woodson, founder and president of the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up on today's roundtable, we examine the challenges and opportunities facing American workers in a global economy.